I have the honor of preaching this morning. And if you have your Bibles at home, I'm going to invite you to open the Gospel of John up to John chapter 20. And I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verse 24 to 29. And it says this: One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound on my side and be faithless and no longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Amen." I'm excited that it's Orthodox Easter this week. What I really enjoy about Orthodox Easter is that we have back-to-back weeks of Easter. We are forced to say two times in 1 month, "Christ is risen." Brother Duhor, I'd love to hear it in Greek. I don't know how to respond, but he is risen. Alitos Anesti. I love that we're forced to come into this mindset, and I think it's one of the only holidays where it comes back to back. And we're both American and we're Romanian. So we have the American celebration from the Western Christian Church, and then we have the celebration from the Eastern Romanian Orthodox Church. So it's beautiful that we get to celebrate this twice. And this is such a common passage for us to preach on the second Easter, right? It's Thomas's unbelief, it's Thomas's doubt. And we all know the story that Thomas missed the opportunity to see Jesus. He missed the opportunity when his disciples saw the Lord. And many times we blame Thomas. And we say, "Thomas, why didn't you have enough faith? You were with him. You walked for 3 years with him." But I don't think we would be any different. Church, I want to ask you, if we're about, I don't know, a handful here, 11, 12 people, just like the disciples were without Thomas. If I were to tell you right now that I saw Jesus Christ, that he appeared right here in church, how many of you would get in your car and drive down here? How many of you would believe me if I said I saw Jesus in the form of man standing before me? I think all of you would say, "Get out of here. I don't believe you at all." And I don't think we give Thomas enough credit, because the first 11 disciples doubted the same way. When the Marys came to them and said, "We saw the Lord," they said, you're crazy. I don't believe you." And then yet Thomas does the same thing. And we know the beautiful story about Thomas, that he said, "Lord, let me see your hands, let me see your feet, and then I'll believe." And Jesus was gracious. He met before him and he let him touch the wounds. And this story is so common, and we know how it goes. He exclaims, "My Lord and my God," the first in the New Testament to proclaim that Jesus was not just the Son of God, not just a prophet, but God himself incarnated in man. But I want to change the perspective today. We've heard sermons like this many times, but I want to change it for a second. You see, Thomas is asking, "Lord, let me see your scars." But church, I want to propose a question for you. What if we were to ask Jesus, what if Jesus were to ask us, "Where are your scars?" And bear with me for a second, because I want to expand on this. I believe Jesus' question for us, the church today, and this is my first point in the title of my message, which is, "What scars do you bear?" We see the beautiful passage in Philippians 6:17, part B, where Paul is saying, "For I bear on my body the scars that show that I belong to Christ." Paul is boasting. He is boasting that he has scars on his body for Christ. And again, we see the same kind of concept that he gives in 2 Corinthians 11, right? Where he says, "My boasting may be foolish, but I'm going to be foolish anyway. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night, a day adrift at sea. Paul is making a very interesting observation here. Paul is saying that as Christians, we now have the privilege, we now have the honor not to just say, Lord, show me your scars, but now Christ can ask us, where are your scars? What scars do you bear for me? And we look at an example, maybe a worldly example. Maybe if you're in a gang in the world, a tattoo represents that you belong to that gang. Maybe some piercings can atone that you belong to some type of cult. But Paul boasts and says, you see these whips on my back? Do you see the scars on my body? It points to him. I boast in Jesus. When you look at that, you don't look at me. It makes a notion that I belong to Christ Jesus. For he says in Philippians 1:29, you have not been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but you have been given the privilege of suffering for him. And church, the first part is so easy, right? The first part is so easy. God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. God, I worship you. But we forget part B of this verse. I now have the privilege to suffer for him. And this is the beauty of the response to Thomas. You see, Jesus, when he met before him, Jesus came in his glorified body. He was resurrected. Jesus could have restored his wounds. He could have came with gold hair. He could have restored his body. He could have looked as beautiful as he wanted to. But he came back with eternal marks in his hand. He came back with eternal scars in his ribs. He came back with eternal marks in his feet so that it can point to him for eternal glory as a reminder that he bore my sin on his body. Jesus now leads the example of scar bearing. And now it's like a concept that comes to us. Paul is saying, I bore the scars. And let's think about that for a second. I believe personally that if you bear scars for Christ, he will get to see them. If Jesus came back in a glorified body and showed me his scars for eternity, imagine the possibility that I get to now bear scars eternally for him. And that when I stand before him in his kingdom, when he returns to this earth, he sees the scars that I bore on my body. And if this concept is true, then Peter will have nail piercings that show Jesus forever. John will have marks from being boiled alive to show Jesus forever. James will have marks from the sword that will show Jesus forever. Stephen will have marks from stones on his body that will show Jesus forever. Paul and John the Baptist will have the mark of beheading that shows Jesus forever. And this historical tradition, if we look at how Thomas is claimed to have died, it's so prophetically beautiful. It said that he was in India preaching the gospel and that he was pierced with four spears by four guards. Look at this beauty through this prophetic utterance. In traditional Roman crucifixion, you are pierced with three nails. One, two, feet, or three. Jesus was pierced one, two, three times, side four. It was a prophetic number four that Jesus appeared before him and said, touch my hands, touch my feet, touch my rib. That's four marks. Now, Thomas, I believe we'll get to stand before the Lord in his glorified body and say, Lord, I now bear four marks for you. An eternal mark that shows as I look at Jesus and I say, I remember for an eternity what you've done. Jesus can look at Thomas and us and say, for an eternity. I get to look at Thomas and I get to respond just how Thomas responded to Jesus. My Lord and my God. Thomas now gets to hear from Jesus. My good and my faithful servant. We might not be able to be martyred for Christ. We might not bear physical scars on our body to represent him. But there's so many scars, church, that we can bear on our body for him. Let's just look at a couple examples. We can say, Lord, look at the scars of my heart that I carried the burdens of my church, to carry the burdens of my brothers, my sisters. We can have scars on our eyes. Lord, look at the scars on my eyes as I cry day in and day out for my lost family, for my lost church. Lord, look at the scars on my back where your word says, if you don't pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. I now can bear the scars on my back for him. It's beautiful what we are offered. We have a privilege to suffer for him. Do you realize that your faith can be a scar? If we look in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 to 7, Peter talks about how our faith is so much more valuable than gold. But it says this in verse 7, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you, highlight this, and there's many passages to back this up, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the world. That means I share in his glory. When people see the scars, when Jesus sees the scars on me, I share in the glory of Christ, for I bore that on me through Christ. I share in that suffering with him. Like the word says, I am a co-heir with Christ. And as Manu so beautifully read from Romans 8, 17, we now can have scars maybe from suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, or mentally for Christ. Romans 8, 17, we are his heirs. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. I get to share in his suffering. I get to share in his suffering. And when I stand before the Lord, I might not have a scar from a knife. I might not have whips on my back, but I can say, Lord, I bore you with me in my heart. Lord, I bore the pain of this world. God, I forsake the world. That's another scar. Colossians chapter 3, leaving the world behind you, setting your eyes on what's fixated in heaven. This is the beauty of Easter. And this is the beauty of what happened with Thomas. Thomas saw Jesus. And from that point on, he was changed forever. And now he understood that it was a privilege to get marked and pierced by four spears. And now, church, I ask you, what is your response for suffering? What scars do we have to show the Lord today? What sacrifices do you have to show him today? How have you understood that it is a privilege not just to trust in him, but to carry battle scars from this world for him? And just as Thomas responded to Jesus, my Lord and my God, when he saw the marks, I pray that when Jesus sees our marks, he responds, my good and my faithful servant. May God be praised through all of this. Amen.